Hey folks, Matt McSpirit here, Technical Evangelist for our Data Center Technologies at Microsoft, joined by Toby and Cosmos, who are going to give us some insight into some new innovation in Windows Server 2016 and Windows 10 all around storage. So guys, what's going on? What's new?
Thanks for having us here today. So what we will actually be talking about is how you can do storage firmware updates in Windows 10 and specifically Windows Server 16, and how we've looked to actually improve the experience on doing this in clusters.
Cool.
So we can just jump into the slides in a second, but basically what we wanted to make sure is that you can update storage firmware specifically for hard drives and for your SSDs in an automatic fashion, so you don't have to worry about when the updates will take, how to roll them all out, and making sure that everything works.
Before we dive into the demo then, a question is, what is the experience for most people like today with firmware updates? How easy is it to manage?
Yeah, so that's a fair question. What usually happens today is that you have different drives, Seagate drives, Western Digital drives, Hitachi drives, in the storage you use usually. And what then happens is you will usually get a tool from those vendors, or you get a tool from your OEM through which you can update firmware. Sometimes those are CLI tools, sometimes those tools have a GUI, sometimes they don't. And we really wanted to standardize that.
Okay.
So what we're showing is, one, the health service that Cosmos will be talking about, and the components it builds on, which are actually new PowerShell commandlets.
Cool.
So you can use PowerShell to update firmware.
Cool. Do you want to kick off the demo then, and we'll talk through what's going on?
Yeah, cool. So let's take a look at how this works in practice, because I think an image is worth 1,000 words in that sense.
Great.
So here I am connected to a Storage Spaces Direct cluster. It is three nodes. And what I've done is I've gone, and in each node, I've put one Toshiba SSD whose firmware I'm going to update. So I'm running a workload. It's a 7030 rewrite mix of 8K random I.O. And what we're going to do is show you that that I.O. Doesn't miss a beat while we update the firmware of these drives. So we can switch into PowerShell and take a look at those three Toshiba SSDs that I mentioned. So again, we've got one of them in each of the three nodes in this cluster. And we can just take a look at their model, their serial number, and their firmware version. And you'll see that their firmware version ends in, it's this string here that ends in @3.
Right.
So we're going to change that.
Okay.
So like Toby said, previously you might have had to download some special tool and then run an exe that you don't really know what it's doing. And almost certainly it would have required you to reboot Windows.
And manually on each node.
Right, so you would have gone to each node, exactly. Yeah. You would have run this tool, and probably you would have had to cycle through rebooting each of the nodes as you did it.
Okay.
So we're going to show you what you can do now with Windows Server 2016 and with Spaces Direct.
Great.
So what we're going to do is we are going to switch into just any text editor. In this case, I've chosen Visual Studio Code.
Yeah.
And you'll see that we have this thing that we call the Supported Components document. So this is new. And it's an XML document that expresses the drives that we intend to use in our system.
Okay.
So what you can see is if I highlight one of these, you'll see we have these entries in this list. And each one of them represents a drive that we want to use. So in this case, I've got an HGST drive. There's its model. And I've actually said, hey, I want to allow it only if it's running firmware version A3A0.
Right.
So that's one drive in my supported components.
Okay.
And what you can see is down here we've got these Toshibas, and we've allowed them to run with the version they're running now.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is we're going to swap out this document for an updated document.
So would you need one of those sections of that code per drive or just per type of drive?
Per type of drive. That's
right.
A great question. So in this system we're running north of 50 drives.
Right.
But just a few different types of them, so
okay.
One per model.
You could have a catch-all that catches all your drives in across the configuration.
Correct, yeah, if they had the same firmware, but that would make sense if you had one drive, right?
Excellent, okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to swap out that document now for a new one. So here you can see the updated document, and what I've done is I've added a new section to the Toshiba entry down here.
Right.
So I've added two new fields specifically. I've added inside target firmware. I've added the version that I want now, which is some string that ends in 1. You can see it there. And then I've also provided a path to where I have that firmware image. So I've gone and gotten it from my OEM somehow, or my ODM.
Right.
And I've saved it. In this case, I've saved it on a cluster shared volume so that it's accessible to all of the machines.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter where I save it as long as it's in a place that all of the nodes can see it in my cluster.
So to be clear for people, you've got that information from your OEM or ODM. That's not Microsoft has created firmware for these drives.
Correct, right. Yes. That's a great point.
Right.
So. This firmware image is actually a black box. We do not and cannot actually see what it is. So you should always get your firmware from a trusted source, such as the OEM or ODM.
Cool. Excellent. Okay.
So now that I've, all I've done is make a few changes to an XML file, right? I've provided a target version and where I've stored that image. And all I have to do now is apply this document to my cluster. So I'll switch back into PowerShell. I can grab the contents of that document that I just authored. So you know, we'll get contents for that file, and save it as a string. And then I just have to apply it using a storage health setting on my Storage Spaces Direct cluster.
Cool.
So these commandlets are a little verbose, but the point is they're completely scriptable. They're really...
So you could automate them as part of another automation routine.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's the key point as well, and standardize them using that approach.
So what we'll do is we'll just set the storage health setting that is called system.storage.supportedcomponents.document, and we'll just pass in the contents of that document.
Just rolls off the tongue.
And you know, you joke, but having done this demo a few times, it does. And so you know, with that done, in some sense, I'm actually done here.
Yeah,
I've updated. So
nice.
We can see it though, just sort of you know, to really prove that it's working. We can switch back over to Perfmon here, and in the performance monitor, we can see this workload we're running. And I'm just going to speed this video up so that it, you know, we can talk through it. And what mm-hmm. you'll see is that the workload has a brief down spike, and then shortly after that, it has this kind of prolonged dip that lasts just a couple of minutes, where the workload does not go to zero. It doesn't even go close to zero, but it does sort of see a small hit.
Yeah.
Right? And then we've actually set the timing here so it takes 5 minutes in between each one. So 5 minutes later, you see another little down spike.
Right.
And then, again, a prolonged dip. And because I have three nodes and I have one of these Toshiba SSDs in each of the nodes, we'll see it a third time here.
Right.
So there's that third dip, and their third down spike, and then a prolonged kind of dip. And we can stop fast forwarding. And here we are. It's been about half an hour of real time. And what you'll see is that if we switch back into PowerShell and we take a look at those drives, right? And this PowerShell window is actually great because it shows us how little we've actually done. Right?
Yeah, it's a minimal amount of entry.
And so we'll take a look at those drives, and you'll see that they now are running that new firmware version.
Cool.
So we've updated drives across all of the nodes, and all just by basically updating an XML file.
Great, cool.
And just to sort of really proof point it, you can if we take a look at these drives and check which node they're in, specifically which sort of fault domain as far as the cluster is concerned, you'll see that they're in separate.
So they're spread across cluster
right,
nodes.
So
yeah.
In different nodes.
Yep.
And so some key takeaways that I want to make sure people see here are, you know, in the course of doing this demo, there was no downtime.
Mm-hmm.
The VMs or the applications that I was running on this cluster that were none the wiser for the fact that I was updating drive firmware across all of the nodes.
Yep.
It was pushed to start, and I use that as kind of a source control pun, right? I just have to get this document onto the system and apply it.
Yeah.
I could go for coffee. This could run for, if it's a very large system, this could run for quite a long time, but all of the logic to do retries and to handle nodes that are, you know, have a transient, they're down, and then they come back, all of that logic is just built in. So it's just, once you've pushed the document, the new firmware it'll converge to having that firmware on the system.
Right.
And then finally, there is no reason, here I demoed it with SSDs, but there's no reason that this is scoped to SSDs. This works with SSDs, whether they're SATA or SAS. It works with NVMe devices.
Yeah.
Our goal here was really to provide a consistent experience across all kinds of devices.
Now, to enable that, obviously, we mentioned earlier that you mentioned HGSE, Seagate, Western Digital. We saw there's a wide variety of drive vendors out there, and we're working with them to ensure that together we're achieving this level of consistency.
Yeah, exactly. So actually, we've heard from all of the major players that, you know, if they don't support it today, they are actively working towards supporting it in the very near future.
Right.
Which
cool.
is really cool.
Excellent. Cool.
So to tell us more about how that works, I think Toby's the man for that
job.
Yeah,
we've set it up now. It's awesome stuff. It really streamlines how you can roll it out compared to a very manual approach historically.
Right.
So yeah, how does it work?
All right, we're done. No. Cosmos showed you how this actually works in the demo, which is really cool. So I'll talk a little bit about what actually underpins all of this coolness and the magic.
Right.
So if you don't want to know what the magic is, you don't have to keep watching.
Look
if
away
you
now.
Are interested, this is, look away now, exactly. This is how the sausage is made. So what we're building on top of is basically at the most bottom level industry standard commands.
Right.
So in the SAS and the SATA and the NVMe spec, all of those have standardized commands for downloading and activating firmware. And we've integrated into our own drivers in Windows the ability to send those commands down.
Right.
In the end, the vendor tools don't actually do anything different. They also send those commands down. Now, there may be different versions between SAS and SATA and so on, but that's what we're building on top of. And we've created two PowerShell commandlets that basically let you do two things. The first one, get storage firmware information, allows you to retrieve information about the drive.
That's what we saw early on in the demo.
Exactly.
Right.
What's the firmware version? In case of NVMe, I can have multiple firmware versions in one device. So in which slot does each version sit?
Mm-hmm.
Does the device actually support the firmware update mechanism and the commands we rely on or not? And For SATA and NVMe, we can easily tell because the drive tells us. For SAS, we actually don't know because the drive doesn't tell us, doesn't have a standardized mechanism. So on SAS, we just try it if the download goes down.
Okay.
And that's the second command, which is very simple, update storage firmware. And you basically pass in the physical disks you want to update and a path to the firmware image that you've got from your...
Which could be anywhere on exactly. the system,
Well, it has to be accessible by that server, right? But you just pass those in, and the commandlet takes care of the rest. And that's what the health server is built on top of.
Nice.
So we had, actually, we have a blog post on this as well, which details this a little better. So
we can link to that in the
exactly,
notes. Yeah,
we'll
sure. Absolutely.
So here's an example of what this looks like. We basically just identify a drive we want to update. We can do it by serial number. We could do it by friendly name if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. And then just get the storage firmware information. So physical disk gets storage firmware info and tells us, hey, this drive actually supports the firmware update mechanism we have in Windows. It only has one firmware slot, which makes it very simple. It's not like NVMe where we have 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
And we can write to that slot. Excellent. So then we go ahead and say update storage firmware, hand it a path to that image, and yep, we want to update slot 0 because that drive only has that one slot.
So in this case, it's a bin file, and in the previous, in the demo, it was a different...
They have different extensions.
Yeah.
In the end, they're all binaries. Some vendors actually encrypt the images completely.
Okay.
So even if we wanted to crack them open, we'd just get gibberish back.
Right. Okay.
And that's why Cosmos's point is very important. Make sure you get the images from a trusted source, your IHV, your ODM, your OEM, because Windows does not parse the images. Mm. We take the entire binary and hand it down to the drive.
Right.
Now, it's good that there have been a lot of advancements in firmware security in the past. A lot of drives validate that they get the right image. And if say, I try to push a Seagate image on a Western Digital drive, that'll typically fail, and the drive says, nope, this isn't mine. I'm going to fail this back.
Cool. And I saw actually on one of the previous slides as well that this has been in Windows Server 2016 since TP4, so quite a few months ago.
Correct. In fact, that's what the blog post is based on.
All right, cool. So people can, if they've got the disks that support it, they can actually try it today.
Yep.
Cool.
So that alone is really cool. I can update an individual disk, but it doesn't solve the problem yet of I have a workload running and I don't want it interrupted. That's where storage maintenance mode comes in. This is also a PowerShell concept, but at a higher level, what we essentially do is we isolate a disk or a set of disks or a fault domain, if you even want. You can isolate a whole server with a storage spaces deployment. So storage spaces is resilient. Say we have 3 copies across the cluster, exactly like this image shows, and we actually use that resilience to keep the workloads offline but do the update.
Right.
So we make sure that I/O is redirected to the 2 other nodes that have the 2 other copies of the data while we take that one node or one disk or set of disks out of the I/O path and update them.
And then just cycle through from there to
exactly.
The others. Right.
It also makes the update more stable because the drive doesn't have to deal with incoming I/O while we update firmware, which usually is an internal reset to the drive. Think of it like a restart of the drive.
Yeah.
Which is still a lot better than a restart of the whole node.
Yeah. And people will be used to the concept of maintenance mode from Hyper-V environments, VMware environments, where VMs are evicted, that node is essentially now free, you can do what you need to do, reboot if necessary. And bring the workload back. So.
Exactly, that's the idea.
So
the nice thing is that we can do this maintenance transparently. The VMs don't have to shift, they don't have to move.
Okay.
We basically redirect the I/O stream, do the update, bring it back, and resync storage spaces.
Right. If you've got some very active VMs, though, would you want to plan for it in a maintenance window? Would that be a best practice?
You may want to. So it's certainly recommended to do this work in a lower workload time or in a maintenance window time.
Right.
Because in the end, the other 2 copies have to pick up the work that the 3rd copy would have done.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're running your system full tilt 100%, you may not want to do that at the same time because things will slow down. They have to. There's only so many resources in
exactly
the system.
So many apps available. Cool. All right. Great. So what else do we need to know?
So this is how you can invoke maintenance mode. Again, it's in PowerShell, which makes it very easy to script. You can integrate it with any other workflow you have. And in fact, the fact that it's so easy to sort of invoke maintenance mode brings us to the health service piece of this.
Yep.
So the health service is a new feature in Windows Server 2016, specifically for Storage Spaces Direct.
Right.
And one of the scenarios that's really interesting with the health service is that we handle this drive firmware rollout in a clustered environment. So essentially, at a very high level, what we do is we serially make calls into the commandlets that Toby has described.
Right.
So we will go node by node and then drive by drive within each of those nodes, putting them into maintenance mode and then applying a firmware update. And we do it all based on what you put in that XML document that we showed. So you tell us what image you want us to you know, roll out across the cluster, and we get it done.
Cool.
And there's a lot of logic. There's a lot of logic that we've built that handles retries, handles failures. If a node leaves the cluster and then rejoins, we will go back and make sure that we got its firmware updated as well. If it's in maintenance mode for some other reason, we'll let that maintenance finish and then we'll just hold off, but then we'll keep going. So it's really like it's as persistent as I have to believe any admin could really be.
Right.
And once you have applied this document, we will get it done. Right. We will do whatever it
just
takes
work to through it as long as it takes to just get that
to roll the firmware across the cluster. And you can actually set a lot of there are a lot of knobs that you can tune to tell us how long you want us to wait, how cautious you want us to be. What if one of the drives rejects the update? What do you want us to do? Do you want us to back off?
So
do you want us to try it again?
Yeah.
And so out of the box, we actually have a fairly conservative and slow rollout because we've been told that people take firmware updates quite seriously and they
as
really
they should.
Right, which is great. So what we do out of the box is we apply the updates to all the drives in one of your nodes, and then we wait a week.
Right.
We give it a week for you to tell us if, hey, actually, this looks like it's not good, or, hey, there's some kind of fringe command that the drive isn't handling the way it should anymore because, because sometimes you can apply a firmware update and it looks okay at first, but then,
it takes you some time.
So we wait a week.
Right.
And then
is that configurable?
Yes, absolutely configurable. But we wait, by default, 7 days. And then if everything looks good, we start going through the subsequent nodes, waiting only one day between each one.
Right, okay. Because so you assume the rest will behave the same.
Right, exactly. So in this case, because it's in the XML, you just specify for one class of drives.
Yep.
So necessarily, the drives are already the same.
Right.
So in this case, with a 4-node storage spaces direct cluster, it'll take 9 days. Because we'll go 7 plus 1 plus 1 to get it across the whole
thing.
See.
Yeah. By default.
Right. And then you can, as we showed, I made it take like half an hour to go across a 3-node cluster just by tuning all of these knobs all the way down for demo purposes.
Right.
So, and very configurable.
So I guess a question then, if people did have an issue with the firmware it applied and it started to exhibit some strange behavior, we use the term firmware upgrade, but could you roll back using the same, just pointed at the previous file?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. So we don't keep track of which version is newer or a higher version number than the others.
Right.
We just take the string you provide us and make it
Just put that on the machine.
So if I could now go to that same demo I showed, switch my supported components document back to the old version, and then roll that out.
Right. Yep.
And I could switch back and forth all day if I felt so inclined.
So if people did want to test it at home, they would need Windows Server 2016, they'd need a disk or a drive that had at least two firmware versions provided by their OEM, ODM. And they could try it out. They could just roll forward, roll back, roll forward, roll back.
Yep.
And you can even do it on your laptop if your laptop happens to support it.
Nice.
Now mine does not. And I don't know if I don't know if we know of any that do.
I have done it on a boot drive before. What it will depend on is how long the actual activation takes and how long the drive takes to do reset. But I had one that did it in a couple seconds and it worked fine.
Great.
And that's basically what we asked the ODMs and IHVs for as well. Just give us two firmware images for testing. They can be functionally the same. We just need two different strings.
Right.
We need to be able to get back and forth between the two.
Cool. Yeah. That's
and great. We've updated SSDs. We've updated hard drives. We've updated NVMe devices.
And again, because Windows is driving the process, that's really the key of this, right? It's a Windows native. Windows knows what's going on. You don't have to reboot in most cases.
Yeah.
You can continue streaming a YouTube video while you do this. Your computer just stays up, which is really cool.
Yep. And so to clarify finally for people, this is a storage spaces direct scenario. It works on laptops as well, but is there any other scenarios in the data center? It wouldn't work with a SAN, for instance, just in case people are wondering, well, I've got a SAN connected to my machine. Can I use it for that?
That's a fair point. We've gotten that question, and no, it doesn't.
Right.
Primarily because the SAN has its own drivers and just exposes a logical unit to us. And that's a logical device. I have no idea what firmware is that, because I don't know what's behind it.
Yeah.
So with a lot of work, a SAN vendor could probably make it work. I mean, all the APIs we use underneath are public and are documented, but that's not currently supported.
Okay, and typically SAN vendors do provide an upload within UI that does all the drives and works.
Exactly.
So it's not something we need to cover.
So this is, primarily storage spaces direct.
Right, cool. So anything else, guys? Anything else people need to know?
I think that's it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, make sure if you've got the drives, if you've got the firmware from your OEM or ODM, try it out. Download Windows Server 2016, the evaluation, and kick the tires with it. Obviously, you can check out all of the other videos on our Windows Server channel on Channel 9, which we'll provide the links for. And join us again soon on another video on Channel 9. See you later.